Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. We're going to play on and stand strong. With Trollo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. With Trollo and Dibs.
Fourth quarter of the show. It's only fitting we start right here.
Garoppolo fires. It is caught. Still on his feet is Kittle with a big play and the stiff arm. George Kittle. Flag fly. He's down to the 30. What a run by George Kittle. Taking on everybody, but the penalty is huge. There are multiple flags. It would be a 39-yarder on fourth and two.
Shout out Fox for the audio. That sound you heard outside of the yelling and the screaming was the very soul of the New Orleans Saints fans, organization, players, coaches, and everyone in between being snatched from their body by one George Kittle. It was a 39-yard reception, 36 yards of which came after contact. That's a career high for George Kittle as the Niners defeat the Saints in New Orleans by a final score of 48-46. They, no doubt, control their destiny in the NFC. That game yesterday was the byproduct of the resilience and the learning that took place from the close late losses to both the Seahawks and the Ravens. Just 1 week after losing a tight game to the Ravens, they found a way to close the show in another tight game on the road against a marquee opponent. Here is George Kittle talking about that play after the game.
It was just it was a choice route, get a motion over, see if it's man zone. It was man, he was sitting inside. I get a choice to go in or out. Emmanuel and KB basically just have go routes to clear it out for me. He was sitting hard inside, so it was a pretty easy decision for me. Break out, Jimmy gave me a good ball, and just let me run with it.
Beautiful. Makes it sound so easy, and yet it's a play that's going to live in 49er infamy forever.
And rightfully so, Joe, because the run after the catch, it was unbelievable. We haven't seen that. I know you kind of talked about Bavaro when he was there in Philly, that tough run, that play that he had. He's just carrying people down the field, Mark, that is. It was amazing. I mean, that play, I mean, you talk about the earthquake where beast mode, the beast, that was a physical run that he even scored, but the difference is Kittle didn't score, but the way that he was carrying guys down the field, it seemed like, okay, when is he going down? I mean, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I mean, he's carrying guys. And a guy, and the thing about it, there is a man that's grabbing his face mask, trying to pull his helmet off, and he's punching him. He's slapping him. And then another one comes in front. Then another guy jumps on top of his back, and he still Dibs is carrying these guys down the field, and he gets up. And when George Kittle does the pounding of the chest, you look up and you're like, oh, my God, I just got to witness something that's going to be a play that is going down in history. You can look at every single play. There were some awesome plays made in that game. But I tell you right now, there was none with the way in which Kittle did. That play right there and that whole game, I don't care how great Drew Brees was. I don't care how great Jimmy G was. What Kittle did just friggin' is the play that's going to be seen go down in time. It's just unreal.
People have had suggestions for what they want to call that play. I just saw something on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, from the 707, fourth and voodoo.
Oh, that's pretty good. Look at even our producer, John Curley, lit up back there.
Yeah. I like that one.
Fourth and voodoo. Fourth and voodoo. Get that man's name. Send him a text, or woman, whoever it happens to be. I think we skew a little bit more male than female, but with billions of people, you're going to mix and match
fourth
from all across the world. Fourth and voodoo. That's a woo. I like that. That feels good. It's like if you stay at a really nice hotel and you put on one of the robes, feels nice.
Turn down service, a little mint on the pillow. It's classy. It's high quality. I've heard about those places.
An update from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. This is a tweet that was sent out about a half hour ago. 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman. 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman underwent an MRI this morning on his injured hamstring, which is pretty sore a day after that wild win over the Saints, source said. Status in doubt for Sunday against the Falcons, but he'll do everything he can to be ready. So keep it locked here, 95.7 The Game, as we get updates on Sherman, Weston Richburg, D. Ford. Someone suffered a concussion yesterday. Why am I short on that?
It was on Kaywan Williams?
That's it. Kaywan Williams with the concussion. We'll have the latest on all the injuries as they unfold. So keep it here at 95.7 The Game. I mean, we talked about this a little bit this morning. I kind of want to get into it now. How would you rank the plays yesterday? Like, what are the five best plays from yesterday's game? Or we don't even have to go five. We can go Rushmore, which tends to be how we do things around here.
Right.
But the Kittle play, fourth and voodoo, appears to be number one. I don't think anyone's going to argue. There's probably a common troll out there who might try to make a case for
right.
someone else. But that's in play for one, right?
Without a doubt. And I think that goes on the mount without any discussion, any argument. You'd have to look at the Jimmy G deep touchdown throw to Emmanuel Sanders. There's hand fighting. Sanders catches it. Jerry Rice joined us about a half hour ago, and he was laughing at why fall down there. But he fell down, wasn't touched, got up, and scored. I put down two of the Juszczyk plays in there, one on the option pitch where he gets the inside handoff low and he keys the option, and then he gets absolutely destroyed after the pitch. And the other one was when he got kind of folded on the reception. He goes down and he gets hit in the head, and he got an extra 15 tacked on as well. That was a big play. Defensively, Bosa tackling Taysom Hill on that. Bosa goes to the inside. Hill goes around the outside, but Bosa's so quick that he's able to go around the tackle and still get out and get a piece of his legs.
I hate playing teams like that. I realized that yesterday, too. I hate these teams that can sub in different quarterbacks who bring that new threat, because especially if you're betting, every third and two, it's like they're not going to stop this guy. This guy's got some wrinkle you can't stop. It's that dude is dangerous.
Yeah.
The Sanders touchdown pass to Raheem Mostert.
Yep.
That's got to be on there, too.
Absolutely.
Unless you already mentioned it and I missed that.
And there's so many plays in that game, Lo, that you start to think about the other ones that could be nominated. The Debo run with the Kittle pancake,
that's
the Doug Gottlieb special.
And
Gottlieb says Kittle's not a good run blocker.
That's a bad game for Doug Gottlieb yesterday. That game did not go Gottlieb's way.
I think you got to mention Dibs. I think it would be remiss, which I think he was probably going to get to it, is that special teams play. A fourth down, the Saints decide to go for it. That play.
On the fake punt.
Fake punt. That play's got to be up there. Big swing, big miss by the Saints. But for to have the presence of the mind to understand he's not going to get called for that. Saints were putting the foot on the throttle. They were not going back out. To have the presence of mind, to stay with the gunner. So many times, guys down the field, Dibs, they'll block the guy, and after they kind of lose him, they'll just automatically peel to the punt returner because they want to go set up a block. This is to have the presence of mind, to stay on him, to understand that there's a ball in there, but he doesn't look back at the ball, stays engaged, and he's pushing the guy out of bounds. That's a friggin' heads-up
play,
man. Heads-up play.
To know the rule, and you always talk about attention to detail,
no
and that's
question.
Where the special teams coach and all the special teamers, you've obviously been over that rule many, many times to where when you're in that situation, you know you don't have to worry about looking back at the football.
Right.
You don't have to worry about PI because you know the rule,
right.
And so you play it like you'd play any other punt, and it goes your way.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Dan, but the thing that's crazy...
Dan. I like it.
No, it's because...
Isn't that what the New Zealand people call you?
Yeah, Dan.
Dan. But because you think about where special teams was at yesterday. That play and goals to win the game. But think about special teams. You gave up a huge punt return. You're giving up kickoff return.
Yeah.
You were giving up field position at every stint of the imagination for the defense and putting them not in a very good situation. So when you think about those particular plays, when it counted most, when it meant most, when the game was still in balance, to have those presence of mind on those plays, to have to kick the field goal, to own that punt, those are big plays, man, because special teams, you got motorboated, you got slapped around, you gave up a lot of yards in special teams.
The other one,
sequence as well, let me throw this in there.
Yeah.
They're cruising, and they grab the what was it? It's the second. It's the third quarter, I want to say, when Sanders tipped the ball up on the INT.
Yes,
that was in plus territory for the Saints. They held them to a three and out, and Will Lutz had to hit the 55-yard field goal there.
Right,
that was a big defense in a game that had very few defensive stands, right. Only three total punts.
Sure,
that was a huge defensive stand yesterday.
And the other defensive play that I want to inject in there,
please,
is DJ Jones. He did it again, another forced fumble, and that was a situation where the game was starting to feel like maybe it was going to turn New Orleans' way. The 49ers had just gone three and out on their own, and the Saints starting at their own 20. First play, balls out, short field. Niners score the touchdown to give them back the lead. That's a play that I think will get lost among all of the hubbub of the Kittle and the Sanders and all that, but that was a huge play.
Just the second fumble all season for the Saints. Only their second fumble, and we're in December here. Brendan in Newark. Everyone's got an idea. They want to name the Kittle play. All right, let's open it up. 888-957-9570. Brendan in Newark, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Amazing win yesterday. And I'm just so happy that we already have Kittle down the middle. But when you're running out of time, it's Kittle down the sideline.
Not bad. Not bad. When you're running out of time, Kittle down the sideline. It rhymes. I don't know if that can be, if you get, like, every time you refer to the play, you got to do the whole thing. It's a process. It's like taking communion. You can't just show up and take the cracker and have the wine. You got to, you know, you got to dress up and sit through the service.
And you got to learn too about hands up, hands down. Hands down, it's going in the mouth. Hands up, you want in the palms.
Did not know that. Was at a Catholic wedding about a year ago. Found myself in that crossfire.
Wow.
No idea what the hell I was doing up there. Probably shouldn't have been up there to begin with. I don't know what happened. I was just following everyone's lead, and the next thing I know, I'm eye to eye. It's a Catholic church, so a priest.
Body of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm eye to eye. Had no idea where to put the hand, so there it came. He went right for the mouth.
It's kind of like George Kittle in the choice route. You know, he saw that the linebacker was taking away the inside, so of course he was going outside. Yeah. Hands up, hands down. It's like a choice route, Lo.
Right. Hands down, open your mouth, you know? And
yikes.
No.
It's odd.
Hand down.
Everything
man down.
So that. Jack in San Francisco.
Hey, Jack, save us.
Jack in San Francisco, welcome to the show. Your thoughts on what we should call the Kittle play?
Oh, my God. Game was
all right, I can't understand any of this. That's
popcorn out your mouth.
Out of here. Whoa. Out of here. He's taking communion right now. What's going on here?
What's going on?
Dibs gets up from the seat, evacuates his position to turn off all the TVs.
Yeah. I'm trying to turn on the in-house monitor. That way we know what's going on for our live stream.
You
want to
see yourself?
No,
you need some Adderall?
Yeah. I want to make sure that we are buttoned up, that we know what's going on here.
Right. First day ever. Right. We've been streaming for like a year.
Exactly.
Go to 957thegame.com, and now finally you decided that important.
It's always on, and I noticed it was off, and so I thought I'd take time out of a bad call to, I mean, what did
smart,
I miss?
Smart
I missed
move.
A guy. You guys handled it without me, Coach. We're on to Cincinnati.
Carlos and Fremont. That's well said. He wins that one.
Hey,
Carlos
and Fremont,
your thoughts. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Hey, just really, really impressed with that team win, man. And when I say team, everybody had a part in that, man. From Kyle Shanahan with the creative plays and the offense with the execution, man. That execution was just so impressive, man. That offense just looked so in sync from the running to Jimmy G to tight ends, wide receivers, everybody. Even the defense, man, making the stop after that interception, making the stops on the two-point conversions. And then the special teams making the stop on the fake punt and then making those two field goals, man. Just huge team win. Impressive execution. I can't stress that enough, man. You guys have a good day and just have a good one, man. Have a drink on me, man.
Well, we're going to need that money.
Didn't need
Venmo, however you want to pay for that drink, or we'd love to have you. No, I love the enthusiasm. That's what a day like this brings. 48-46 in New Orleans. That's what this brings. Monster Monday brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. And Dolan's Lumber. Doors and windows. Kyle Shanahan, anyone still against the idea of the 10-year extension? I love this dude.
Who
How do you
no?
not love this dude? Like, look at what he had dialed up yesterday. At the very least, all right, let's backtrack. Let's say Kittle makes the play, Niners miss the field goal, or the field goal's blocked, right? We're in here, we're talking about Robbie Gould, we're talking about all this other stuff, but regardless, it was still an awesome football game. The Ravens game was an awesome football game.
Yeah.
The Packer game was a really fun blowout, much like that Browns game on Monday night earlier in the year.
Sure.
These dudes are a blast to watch. We have not had this in years. The Tom Sula year was brutal. Remember going through guys like Brian Hoyer and Blaine freaking Gabbert was starting at quarterback here. And then there was the Kaepernick thing. Oh, he's not going to play because he's hurt. And then there's a lawsuit and there's all this. Like, what the hell is going on here? And the Chip year, the first 2 years of Kyle, which were a struggle. Even in the games they've lost, the Seattle game and the Baltimore game, they have been thrillers. This is a great product right now. This is a great product. You can't say enough about it. You're so blessed to live here if you root for some of these teams.
Yeah.
You get the Giant Dynasty, and the second it dies, the Warrior Dynasty picks up. And when the Warrior Dynasty has a little bit of a down year here, it's the gap year, the European vacation year.
Yeah.
This Niner team steps right in and gives you a Super Bowl year. Like, you had a very legitimate shot. The odds are in your favor that you're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
It really is. And when yesterday was, you got to see a team, in spite of not necessarily playing great defense, Dibs, it was a team. The team showed up. There were some lulls. We get that. But to go on the road into the Voodoo Dome, where they don't call him Breeze, they call him Breezus, to find a way to get a win. You talked about the two losses that this team had prior to this. You look at the Seattle loss. Man, goes down to the final kick of the game, walk-off field goal, they lose. You look at Baltimore, walk-off field goal, they lose. Yesterday, they're able to put that same situation. Breeze takes them down, friggin' score, 1 minute, less than a minute left. Easy could have been like, man, here we go again. You got to have a short-term memory and understand that, hey, look, I'm not going to let my past define me as a team and as individuals, because the easy in that situation, you could have let your past define you. And guys like, man, we just can't get over the hump with these tough teams and these teams that don't have necessarily a winning record. Two teams, winning record, two teams you lost to. Now you're in a situation, you have the opportunity to right that ship against a good team, and you found a way in the most hostile environment that you could ask. That's a huge win, and I think that's going to play a huge amount of dividends moving forward.
Let me ask you something. What could be thrown their way in the playoffs that they haven't seen? I'm not talking about schematics.
I got you.
I'm talking about what situation could be thrown their way that they have not seen yet. Think about that for a second, because I was going through this. I was going through all the questions about this team.
Sure.
Starting with that first game of the year in Tampa Bay. Can they win in the humidity? Right? Yeah. We were worried, it's going to be really hot down there. You talked about playing in Tampa,
Absolutely.
How miserable it is. I compiled this. It's like 24 questions. I was just writing this up yesterday. They can win in the humidity. They can win in the rain. They can win on the road. They can win at home. They can win in a dome. They can win outside. They can win in the Eastern time zone. They can win in the Central time zone. They can win in the Pacific time zone. They can win as underdogs. They can win as favorites. They can win by blowout. They can win by comeback. They can win on Thursday night. They can win on Sunday night. They can win on Monday night. They can win coming off the bye week. They can win going into the bye week. They can win the second leg of a road back-to-back. They can win divisional games. They can win conference games. They can win non-conference games. They can win on the short week. They can win against an opponent with extra rest. And that's, I don't even know if that's the full gist of everything that's happened this year. But next to it, in parentheses, Dibs, you can see it. I have all the examples of the games in which they've won in those categories. They have done all of it. All of it. There is no scenario you could throw at them. Hey, you got to go on the road, hostile environment. You're going to be down. Okay, yeah, we can draw on the Saints game for
that. That was yesterday,
We can draw on the Ravens game for that. Like, they have faced everything. Now, granted, they're different players and different schemes, but mostly, what can you throw at them? A monsoon?
They played in bad
weather twice.
Yeah.
Throw great weather at them? They know what that's like, too. Indoors, outdoors, you name it. Bad spots, coming off byes. They have done it all this year.
You're right. You can win, when a team's playing in different schemes, you're still down to try to get that ring. It was just amazing to watch that go down by two scores.
Twice.
Two scores. And that's one thing that we have not seen. And for them to absolutely come back and do it, it was amazing.
And they've won defensively with a 9-0 win, and now they've won in a shootout fashion. To your point about all the different ways, the different climates, the different quarterbacks, they've done well against mobile quarterbacks at times. Pocket passers, they've done well. They've won those games. The only thing they haven't yet done, which they might get to do in the divisional round, is win on Saturday. You mentioned Thursday, and I know they have a Saturday game before that, I believe not this game, but the game after the Ram game, I think is a Saturday game.
Win that one, knock that off the
go
list.
Go ahead and put that
beat
on
it Saturday.
List. So Saturday right now is sitting out there, but playoff game, like you said, and you know, if you continue to handle your business over these next three, you get yourself a week off in the wild card round, and sky's the limit then.
There are two questions that remain on the list. At the bottom, there are two questions. Question number one, can they beat Seattle? And question number two, can they win in the playoffs? We really just don't know. Tom Pelissero, again, with an update on Richard Sherman. This is from his Twitter account. He's from the NFL Network. Richard Sherman's MRI showed a grade 2 hamstring strain per source. So definitely tough for this week and perhaps beyond. Though we've seen Sherman play through plenty of things before. Maybe a situation where he's not playing against Atlanta, but you're going to need him back for the Rams. The Rams got wide receivers running free last night against the Frank Underwood of the NFL. The house of cards, that is the Seahawks. Told you it was going to come undone. Frank Underwood came undone last night. No surprises there. I'd love all those people who called last week, the Seahawks fans that are out there listening. Phone lines are open to you guys as well. How do you feel about your Rams loss last night? 888-957-9570. Phone lines are juiced. So first off, I got to tell you this. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Brown and Toland. Brown and Toland. What's coming up in the game? It's brought to you by them. Phone lines are packed. I see B Ford. I see David, Dave. I see Action Jack. I see Jeff. All these people. We're coming to you guys next. We're taking your calls. We're talking about Garoppolo. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Brown and Toland's physicians, doctors know the best care for you because they take the time to get to know you. Capital letters. And with over 2,700 primary care and specialty physicians working in 7 Bay Area counties, you are sure to find the best doctor for you. Visit brownandtoland.com today. That's brownandtoland.com today.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you, that's right, Joe. That's right.
On 95.7 The Game.
That's what we call radio.
Quality radio.
Well, I don't know if I go that far. It was technically radio, though.
Yeah. I guess if it went on the air, it counts as radio, Elo.
Yeah, I guess. Radio.
Great news, and this is exceptional, extraordinary news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Phone lines are juiced. We want to bring you into the show. A lot of people want to try to name the Kittle play. If it's going to go down in history, what's it going to be known as? We saw someone on the text line who gave us 4th and Voodoo. That's pretty cool. If you got something better, we'd love to hear it. If you got something worse, we'd love to hear it. And everything in between, because I know there's a lot of stuff on Garoppolo as well. We want to get to that too. Let's start with Action Jack in Oakland. Action Jack, welcome to the show. Your thoughts?
Good morning, fellas. Love your show. Yeah, I just want to say that Garoppolo is a top 10 quarterback, and Kittle's catch should be get off me.
get off me. That's exactly what was happening right there. We've talked about this morning, the idea of what's it going to be like in the Niner film room when the whole team watches that play together. Hoot and holler. And Alex Boone said he'd be throwing chairs. It might be a bit much considering you're in the Super Bowl hunt here. You're not going to want to take an eye out or anything like that, That's Boone. What's it going to be like in the Saints film room when they watch that play?
Wow. I think they look at that play and Dennis Allen turned his head. I don't even know if they watch it as a team. But
they probably don't want to show that, right?
Don't want to show it.
He's drinking in the film room for sure.
He's taking
Dennis Allen and Mike Nolan, linebacker coach.
Yeah,
they're all boozing up.
They're boozing it up.
You have to.
And Salas is taking a shot just because, thank God, I got rid of that. He's doing we escaped it. We found a way.
A win's a win.
A win's a win.
Salas out there reading the columns. Am I still
right, 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 right. Am I still the head? Am I still getting the head coach job out there? Ooh, yeah, it's I think that the Saints, you're looking at that and coach says, guys, you know what? We got to find a way. We got to get better. We can't allow this to happen. You watch the play and say, look it, this guy's carrying you guys 20 yards. You make this tackle right here, you give ourselves a chance. And then some of the coaches are going to say, look, we got to put you guys in a better position. What do you mean? You had those 3-by-3. You got a guy at the point. You got two receivers there, kind of that triangle as offense. You line up in that bunch look. Then you look at it and says, they said, man, we gambled. We should have had them box that in. You box it in. You got three receivers, 3 DBs on the other side. And they all get wider, and they get depth and width at the same time. So they keep everything in front of them. You play a safety over the top. So then you just say, look, tackle. Now you got to make the tackle. Instead, you said, I'm going to go press. I'm going to play man. And now you let those two guys push. You let freaking the best tight end in the league run up on your corner and read. He knows he's playing man. Now he breaks the out. Those two other guys, he's got to gamble and come underneath it instead of fighting over the top of the two receivers. And they gambled and they lost. So they're looking at that. And this is that team meeting, Joe, that usually – you go into a special teams meeting or the team meeting on today, and everyone comes in. You say good win, and you break up, and you go into your special teams. Watch the special teams. You're gonna be on. You're gonna grade that hard because special teams wasn't that good. But then usually after that team comes together, the head coach says some stuff, and he goes, "Okay, break up. Offense goes and watch it, and defense goes and watch it." Not today. Today you're like, "Hey, I got to show some plays." This is that day that you got to have everyone in there to see what Kittle did. You got to have everyone in there to point out things that, hey, here's a good plays, here's some bad plays, but this is that thing, hey, guys, you got to see this. And then when you look at that and they show that play, look, this is the kind of guy that you guys have on your team. This one, guys go in there and they say, man, we love you. This is where guys are fired up and they're looking at him and the defense say, man, Kittle, we appreciate you. Love you, boy. Man, we owe y'all. That's why you want the team in there for certain plays. You don't have enough time, Joe. You don't have enough time for the whole offense and defense to watch the whole game to play. No, that doesn't happen. But on those particular plays, you need to have that team in there to see where guys can look and say, what's in that man's heart? I need to do that. I got to step up on offense. I got to do better. You show freaking Houchek's getting kissed in the face. You show that play where he does that option dibs that you're talking about. And show, look what this guy did. Look what he left on the field for you. Let him see the shot he took as he pitched that ball. So those are teams. Now you come in for the team meeting and you show some of those plays just to show what guys left out on the field.
Isn't he playing with a broken bone in his ankle?
Kittle?
Yeah.
Probably.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah. Isn't he a broken leg?
Yeah.
Jeez. Take that, Saints.
Plus the knee contusion, and you talk about exactly what's on film, and that's the desire to win, the desire to make not only the play that you need to make, because the throw was there and the catch was made. If he gets stopped after 3 yards, you probably use your last timeout, and you hope to get 20 more yards to get a long field goal, but he shakes the first tackler, who, by the way, shouldn't have gambled, to your point, Lo. He shouldn't have tried to go for the ankle tackle there. You got to know better, and you just contain him to a 7 or 8 yard game. But by diving, you gave an automatic 15 or 20, and then what goes on after that becomes a stuff of legend.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the billions. Jeff in San Francisco. Jeff, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to keep it short and sweet. You know, we've referred to George Kittle as going into beast mode, but I think it'd be most appropriate by saying he was carrying the beast load down the sideline. And with that, I'm out, gentlemen.
I don't know what he said. It sounded like it broke up right there.
This is a good uptick, though.
The what mode down the sideline? What did he say?
Maybe the yeast mode because he rose to the occasion?
Yeah, that was...
That's cool. He's like bread.
Yeast.
He kind of coming for the call.
That's what I'm thinking.
Genius.
When I think of George Kittle, I think of a nice loaf of bread.
He went into yeast mode, Coach. He rose to the occasion.
Yeah. Throw a little grilled cheese in there. We got ourselves a sandwich, huh, Joe?
Sounds like it. Okay. Dave and Vallejo with a question about Russell Wilson. Dave and Vallejo, welcome to the show. Fire away.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, my question is last night is... I've watched all these games, and it's funny to me how Russell Wilson sat in the pocket most of the time last night. I believe he was sacked 5 times. And when we played us, it seemed like he was running for his life all night long, making plays on the run. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on why you think that he sat in the pocket most of the time last night and took sacks.
Great question, because he was under heavy duress from the inside, and he went down quite a few times in that game last night. I can't answer that. I don't know why he wasn't able to get outside more. I think they did a better job of getting upfield on him to where he couldn't do his little bounce out. That's what typically happens. But you watched him last night, how often the pocket swarmed him and just ate him alive. You do not see that very often. But again, this is the Frank Underwood of the NFL we're talking about. This is the house of cards. Seattle is not as good as their record indicates, and you saw that last night. That wasn't a fluke. This team's been on borrowed time all season. 12 games going into last night, 10 were decided by one play. 10 one-play games. It's going to come crashing down. It came down last night. Everyone in Seattle all shocked. They lost that game last night. Watch the betting line. They opened as a 3-point favorite. It went all the way to Rams -1.5. There's something that stinks about that when you see it.
And that game wasn't as close as it would have been, or it was closer than it probably should have been, because Jared Goff threw the pick six, and he threw another bad interception. Seattle didn't do much
offensively.
He had a nice
game early. He jumped all over them early. He looked very sharp back there. I don't know about them. They people are trying to make the case that they're coming back. I don't know. It's just, I think the Niners are in a very fortunate situation. That was a huge day for them. The Saints win takes place, and then you watch the Seahawks lose later that night. It sets everything up beautifully.
A little troubling, though, with the news from Tom Pelissero from NFL Network about Richard Sherman in a grade 2 hamstring strain. Doing some quick research during the break, it's usually about a two-week timetable. So you probably don't need Richard Sherman against Atlanta, but that Ram game, especially if the Rams win again next week, Lo, and the Rams are actually playing for something, it gets to be a little bit stickier for the Niners if they're without Richard Sherman.
Yeah, it does, but I think they just got to be next man up. You're playing at home. When you play in the Rams, you got to find a way. You know, I don't necessarily know if they match up great against the Niners, because I think the Niners can get to golf, and you've seen the way that they were able to jump on him. So it's still, though, you just want to get Richard Sherman healthy, and he's probably going to go see Dr. T and get that little plasma shot and try to get some things going, spinning. But Richard Sherman's big. He's big on that defense. He's big on getting guys lined up and understanding the little nuances of the game. You saw him there on some crucial tackles and make some things happen. But this team, man, it's resilience, and you got to find a way, because there's teams that are dropping. Guys are losing guys left and right. Different teams are, but Richard Sherman's a big loss, but you still got to make sure you hold court, and you need him in the playoffs. So, hey, if you have to keep him out for these 2 weeks, you know what? And then, you know, come back for that Seattle, then so be it. You got to figure a way to do it. You can't just throw him out there, because I'm going to tell you right now, you know it, Dibs, Joe, you know it. Teams are going to go after him. They're going to test him out and see what's up. You don't want to do that. So I'd rather have him healthy a lot better than just waiting a week or so.
Scary thing is that the reports are coming out on Sherman, so that's the injury we're focusing on. But that's an injury that's a few weeks. Like, if you just didn't play the rest of the season, the Niners are a playoff team, he's back for the playoffs, you're fine. The Weston Richburg injury looked horrible.
Yeah, it did.
And we haven't gotten anything on him yet. And he struggled last year because he was playing through a lot of injuries, so a lot of people thought the Niners had a bad deal on that. They thought they overpaid for him and that was a bad deal. He was having a really good season this year.
He was.
So hopefully that's one of those news that comes back. It's sprained ligaments or things of that nature, and then from there, maybe it's a few weeks off and back. I think Garland stepped in and played very, very well, given the situation, given the crowd noise and everything else. That game could have gone to hell, and it didn't. But, man, that's going to be the one that we haven't really talked about it today, because you just kind of
and last year he
hope
did,
for the best.
And last year, like you alluded to, Joe, he was out a lot, so Garland had to play a majority of the of the year. So he was a starter, so that played that time that he was in there played very well for the Niners. But yeah, anytime you use a center, because of the fact that the calls that needs to be made and things you need to do to get guys up, that's a big loss. But they did a good job of holding it down.
All the good stuff brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Those of you who are on hold, we're coming to more calls next. We've also got Monday Night Locks. And this question, take your pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet, up on the website now at 957thegame.com. Which player gets your week 14 game ball? This is a tough one this week. Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders, or other? Back in a flash here on 957 The Game.
Get ready for a... Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
When you're talking to Lo Neal, you have to end it on an up note.
On 95.7 The Game.
I want to give you some numbers. 76 passing attempts, 55 completions. For the math inclined, that's a completion percentage of 72%. 767 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, quarterback rating of 129.6. Can anyone guess what I'm reading off to you right now?
The combined stats from Breeze and Garoppolo?
Close. Not bad at all. Close. 72% completions, 767 yards, 7 TDs, 1 pick, 129.6 quarterback rating. That is what Jimmy Garoppolo did in the turkey trot. Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans. Quarterback rating of 129.6.
Wow.
It's incredible. Wow.
Big-time
incredible
players making big-time plays in big-time spots. Let's go back to the phones. Jake in Iowa. To the Midwest we go.
Oh, Jake.
Jake in Iowa, welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Great win yesterday. Love these Niners. They're gonna win the Super Bowl, my man. But I felt Nick Bosa stabilized that game yesterday on defense when it was kind of getting away from him. He did a great job. What a pickup he's been. And then after the game, I don't know if you guys probably saw the video with the York family. I mean, they deserve a lot of the heat they've taken, but you can tell Dr. York, Jed, I mean, they love those players. They love that team. That was just a great moment when they gave them the footballs with the tears, man.
Jake, we're glad you brought that up. Thank you very much for calling the show. Hit us up anytime. Dibs, for those who don't know what Jake is talking about, could you update us?
A year ago Saturday, the Yorks lost one of their four children, Tony York, who died very young before he was even 40 years of age. And so they played the game yesterday for Tony York. They had the decals and the helmets, the TY. And I know that he was on the minds of not only the ownership group, but also the coaches and the players. And it was a pretty special moment afterward when they took time out to not only remember Tony, but to give game balls. I think Kyle Shanahan spoke.
Kyle Shanahan addressing the team after the game.
Proud of you guys, and so pumped we can be a part of this team. Guys, every game's been different. I feel like we've been through every type of game this year possible. We haven't. All right, we got a different type of game today. All right, guys, whatever happened, man, you guys rise to the challenge and got it done. All right, I don't care how we do it, man. You guys found a way. We talked about it yesterday. This was a special day, all right, for a number of reasons. All right, we knew how important this game was, all right, but we also knew how important this was to our team, all right, and to the Yorks. All right, they had heavy, heavy hearts today, man. We know what they've been through for the last year. All right, and I promise you, all right, Doc, all right, Jed, all right, I promise you he's down watching today, man, and I guarantee you he does. I know there's five of you guys, man, but five game balls here is for Jenna, Mara, all right, Jed, all right, Denise and Dot here, and Dr. York, but we love you guys and we appreciate you guys.
Very well said on behalf of the head coach. Here is Dr. John York after the game.
Guys, I got to say, obviously, we know why we're getting these game balls. I wished I never had one. And we could not have done this without all of you. The coaches were terrific. Jimmy, this is the best game you've ever played. George, great at the end. Robbie, thank you. So congratulations. This is all of us. So thank you. And Kyle, John, everybody, thank you.
Beautiful moment after the game. Beautiful moment indeed. Yeah. There's no easy way to transition off of something like that. It's fortunate that it's a win. It's fortunate that he could be remembered, that they could address it in such a manner. On a slightly more family-related but positive note, if you follow Jed York on Twitter,
oh boy,
he was in New Orleans this weekend for the game. And he had his son with him. I believe his son's name is it Jack?
Jack. He has a couple kids, but I think this is the older of the two.
So this is the older one, and it's a video. Have you seen this, Lo?
I have not.
Oh, I got to show you.
You're going to love this.
It's gold.
So Jed is walking with his son, Jack. Jed and I are close in age, and our sons are close in age, so I'm looking at this. It's very relatable. And he puts the video, it's only a few seconds, on Twitter. And I believe the title says something like, reminiscing about my son's first walk down Bourbon Street. And the camera angle is from behind Jed and the son. And you just see them take a couple steps. And then about 15 feet in front of them, you see a totally intoxicated older guy just go crashing through a sign. Falling down, just wiping out on the street.
That is a great video.
It's a four-second video.
His son's experience on Bourbon Street.
Right
they
in front
won't
of him.
They won't forget that. They won't forget that.
And it's funny because all the people who see this, there's no like rush to help the guy up. There's no shock.
It's New Orleans.
It's New Orleans, coach. Someone's falling down at all times on Bourbon Street.
Now question.
So nobody even bats an eye. The guy gets nudged because he's hammered.
Yeah.
And somebody just can't get out of here, nudges him, and he goes crashing into one of those like stand up sandwich board signs.
Yeah, falling and I can't get up.
And not a blink. No one flinches. Like you see that anywhere else, people are like, oh my god, are you okay, sir? What
can
happened?
I help you up?
Or get this guy out of here, what a mess. Here it was just
onto the next bar, right?
On to the next bar. Someone's gonna serve this guy. Go get yourself a drive-through daiquiri, pal.
But I do think, you know, just awesome. Just you hear his father, the emotion, and just the guy. Yes, sir. We got you. We love you.
Right.
Congratulations. You hear that locker room. It humanizes everyone. It brings back things back in perspective. When you hear Mr. York and you hear Doctor what he's saying, and you just hear it in the guys and Shanahan and all those guys. Football is just a game. And that was talking about, he said, I wish I wasn't getting this ball because it's about life. And I think that just put everything back in perspective. And it just, as well said, and it's a great job by the team.
Very well said by you as well. Thank you for sharing. B. Ford in Castro Valley. B. Ford, welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Yeah, guys, great show. Just wanted to let you know, I believe Kittle made the kiss of death. So Kittle's incline, shoving sideline. I'll take your answer off the air, guys.
Dibs will come visit you later today.
Yeah, I'll swing by your workplace and give you my answer, my response to that. So what is his Kittle on the sideline?
People are coming up more with rhymes, it seems, gotcha, like, than they are with actual names for the play. But whatever. It's all good. That's what you do on a Victory Monday here on 95.7.
I think the play is just the yak, Joe.
The yak.
The yards after the catch. And you can go ahead and put his face on the body of a yak. And we can all learn a little bit about zoology along the way.
That's what he's... That's what he's known for. I mean, that's not a new thing for him. Yak goes back to when he first came into the league. I think that's not bad.
And he plays like a yak. Quietly, very dangerous animal. Tough to bring down.
Daryl the Guru Johnson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. One-third of the fabulous trio of Steiny, Bonte, Guru, whatever you guys call yourselves these days. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You shouldn't be. The Eagles are going to win tonight, and then you're in big trouble, buddy.
No. You know what? You're right. So we'll just, I'll tell that. Hey, you know what? I'm learning, Lo. Hey, get it all out, Joe.
Cool, I like that.
But I wanted to tell Joe, congratulations on your 5-year anniversary. I was at the gym running and I saw your tweet. I go, that's my friend.
And not just a worker. Yeah. Him too.
Who?
We started on the same day.
You didn't put
a
post out. He's not a, you know.
Yeah. I had to remind him. I sent him a text yesterday to remind him. I got nothing back for about 8 hours. Okay. I sent him a very nice sentimental note.
It was a very nice.
And it was about 8 hours goes by. It's a mess of talk to text. Grammatical errors everywhere. Could barely read it. And I sent him back an OJ meme. That's what he got back.
I love you.
Did you even see the OJ meme?
Yeah,
I sent you the juice.
I did. I saw it.
That's what I thought about your text.
But I just thought it was a very nice text that you sent out, Joe. And I was like, I just want you to know that I love you, brother, and it's been 5 years, and I appreciate you, you know?
That's wild, man. Yeah. What's the tissue?
Polluting the airwaves for 5 years since yesterday. December 8, 2014 was the first time we were on air. The three of us together hit 3 years in. It was
September.
September.
Yes, we got 3 years. Yeah. The big
Thank
three.
Thank you, Guru. It's very nice of you to bring up.
What about
More
that
so
game
than, the, than the actual person I share the date with.
Well, yeah.
That's why you got the OJ.
It means well, Joe.
Yeah, you're going to continue to get the OJ memes. Don't be surprised if your phone's blowing up all day with OJ memes. By the way, did you see the video of OJ in Vegas? He's on the dance floor, blondes all around him. He's dancing up a storm.
I have to go watch it now, man.
Yeah, you got it.
I got to see it, too.
It's all over Twitter.
Dims, you see it?
You feel guilty
when you look at his videos. Give him some love.
I haven't watched, but I'll watch it if you put it up. I'm just not going to do it on my...
He's on the dance floor. Gorgeous blondes all around him. They're all dancing.
Look at him, Mr. USC.
What's wrong with you?
Dims, he went to USC. But you can forgive all, but they won't forgive Vic. They won't forgive Mike.
He went
Vic
to Galileo. Shout out San Francisco. Always skew local, Guru.
Oh, you're right.
Thank you.
Shout out Logan. But they won't forgive Mike Vic. They don't even want him to be a Pro Bowl captain. They're PETA. Is it PETA or PETA?
PETA.
PETA.
That's a good PETA pop. Yeah, it's close. Ballpark. Yeah.
But they don't want him to be the Pro Bowl captain for the Pro Bowl. It's like the dude went to prison. Come on, let it go.
Yeah, I mean, I could.
And OJ's dancing, and he's got people with him.
Up the storm. You should see this.
He's twisted and turning.
He's like me in Scottsdale.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
He's like me in Scottsdale.
Okay, I got to see
He ain't sacking the shells, but he's got his own moves out there. Whatever those may be.
Biggest takeaway for me, not that you guys asked yesterday's game,
yeah,
the
like
Niners can win the Super Bowl, and I'm stating the obvious. That was phenomenal. Just the atmosphere, the announcers. And how does the fourth and
I hadn't thought about him going to the Super Bowl until
that comment. How does that play go for them many yards? That was a basic
show. Guru, Steiny, Bonte, they're all coming up next. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.